Canadian show, North American radio show, and now worldwide show, the Lizzie T Blog Talk Radio Show. She wants to know who you are, what you do, your contact info, anything new? And now welcome the amazing Lizzie T.
Hello, hello, and welcome, welcome everyone to another episode of the Lizzie T Show online. It is a regular time, 1 o'clock Toronto time, everyone, and I'm very, very excited here sharing with you another author, another fantastic book, another amazing guest. Yes, we've been having musicians, authors, and entrepreneurs, and speakers. My goodness, the repertoire is huge. As you heard from the intro, tell us who you are, what you do, contact info, anything new. And we work with on those questions to let everyone, all the 58 countries that listen to us all over the world, to let them know how, who you are and how you have amazing things to share with this world. And before I bring my guests on, I always take a couple of minutes of your precious time, because I do, right? I do, because we have people that are sponsoring the show. So thank you so much, Natasha Bridgmahan, for sponsoring the show. If you're looking for investments right here in Canada, I'm not sure about the States, to invest in your retirement plan or your kids' education fund, contact Natasha. NatureNova.ca is sponsoring the show as well this year. And they're a nature program that goes to schools, daycare, summer camps. March break is just around the corner, and teaches kids all about being outdoors, not on their phones anymore, and being part of nature. NatureNova.ca. I want to thank also Natasha that celebrated their business, their 10th anniversary business year, and they invited us to an amazing gala. What an incredible venue. What an incredible event. We all had to dress up in our gowns and tuxedos. My husband was fortunate enough to come with me, and we were honored there. So thank you so much. The food was amazing. Everything was just breathtaking. You definitely outdid yourself. And they have this gala every year, but their 10th anniversary was definitely, definitely special. Talking about gala, I've been invited again to Woman on Fire. Now, this is an organization here in Toronto that honors Christian women, women that help with in the community, women in business, women that have gone through trauma and overcome that trauma. We're talking about abuse and things like that. So Woman on Fire honors those women and amaze themselves and overcoming whatever struggle that they have gone through. And I cover this event every year. This is going to be my fourth year, rather. And sure enough, I've been nominated. So very, very surprised. So thank you so, so much for the nomination. And we'll find out who the winner is. But there is a program or database, actually, that you can go online and vote, because it is a voting system. So thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to cover the event again, even though I'm going to be one of the nominees. But I will be interviewing all of the nominees for being there, and I will interview the winners. So congratulations to all the nominees, and thank you for inviting me to the event as well. Right after the interview, everyone, we do play music, because this is a radio show, although we have our TV show as well on YouTube, and we will be playing all the beautiful music that has been sent to us. We love gospel, we love rap, hip-hop, whatever the genre is. We have about, give or take, 20, 25 minutes with our guests, give or take, always more, just so you know. And then we have music right after the interview. So send us your MP3. One thing that I love to stress over and over again, this is PR-rated, it's clean music. Is definitely a place where we wanted to be feel inspired. So no profanity or any of that. Unfortunately, this radio station is not for that. And that's pretty much my housekeeping. I have my guests waiting patiently on the other side of the line. And so let me bring him on, but I will be reading a little bit of his bio. We are speaking today with author Edwin Allen Salhani. I think he has a Middle Eastern last name, but we'll find out. He is a son of missionary parents. So there, that's what he got it from. Missionary parents. Alan, it is a lifelong disciple of Christ and study of the scripture. I love that. We never stop learning. Actor, mechanic, and a successful business owner. I was speaking to him just a while ago offline, and he does a lot of things, and I can, by reading his bio, definitely. I'm wondering, how did he find time? Alan graduated college and with a degree in theology and applied religion. He served as an industrial art teacher, Bible and history teacher, at school administrator and youth leader, church elder, and lay preacher. Blessed with the privilege of traveling extensively through Central and South Africa, the Middle East and Europe, and brings an international perspective to his favorite areas that include Bible history and chronology and the significance of tabernacle. I was part of a denomination that we study for a whole week in the tabernacle, and it is cumbersome, but my goodness, it's worth studying it. Temple service and festivals. And Alan and his wife, they reside in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Never been there, but love to add that to my traveling. And where he serves in the community throughout the natural food business and their church and their local leaders. Wow. So let's welcome him to the show with a wonderful round of applause. Hello. Hello, Alan, I guess that's what you go by. Welcome to the Lizzie T Radio Show. How are you doing this afternoon?
Well, thank you, Lizzie. I'm doing just great.
That's awesome. So I don't know if you know or if you follow, but Toronto last week, it was, Canada per se, under huge amounts of snow. And minus, we go Celsius here, minus 20, 30s, and minus 15, the norm. So what is the weather like in Tennessee?
Well, last week we got some of your cold weather. It put us down into the single digits, which is unusual for our part of the country, but we survived. We don't have all the snow equipment that you guys have. But it was a little cold. Right now it's almost 65 degrees, so it feels like spring.
Oh, wow. We're jealous. Well, actually, this week it started to warm up a little bit. And warm up for us is, on their minus one, minus two. Plus one is going to be today, so that helps us a lot. A lot of people said, well, you guys are Canadian, and you've been going through this every year, don't you get used to by now? Yes and no. The older you get, the harder it is, I find. When you're a kid, you can go outside and play in the snow all day long, and their hands are frozen. And I remember my kids when they were little, their cheeks were so red, the frostbite. I'm like, and they still don't want to come in. So it's incredible. Now, I love to play a little game, and it's nothing major. It's just like to know, what is your favorite drink?
Wow. I don't know. Probably water, maybe orange fruit juice of some kind.
Awesome.
Maybe grape juice.
Anyway, it's funny because I get I ask that question to almost all my guests, and I get different variety from Shirley Temple to wine to juices or differing varieties of tea, and very seldom I get water, and that's one of my favorite. Lemon water is my favorite, and that's what I'm drinking right now. Awesome. Awesome. So let's get started.
Good for
I mean, you,
you
are... you are a very accomplished person. You have done so much in your life. One of the things that I wanted to ask you is, you have by having your parent as a missionary, by having your parent as an example in the word, in the spirit, was that one of the common denominator? Was that what made you follow their path, or you actually had your own experience? And that's really what I'm looking for, because I've met many of pastors' kids, which unfortunately they don't follow their parents' path. Some of them, unfortunately, not right now, they're not even in God's presence. So what made you follow the path as a preacher, as a missionary, or even study in the Word?
Well, Lizzie, you know, that's a really good question, because a lot of times when you're brought up in a Christian home, Christianity becomes just a second nature rather than a personal experience. And growing up, my dad was a pastor, and as like you mentioned, we were missionaries in Central Africa. And so as a child growing up, you know, being a Christian, being a missionary was nothing really extraordinary. You know, I didn't get into that from a perspective of being in an affluent first world country like the United States. So it was just the norm. And as my father being a pastor and being busy all the time and constantly gone, that did not leave a real positive feeling with me, in the sense that, you know, we had a real strong family connection because he was always busy. So I grew up with this idea, you know, as a Christian child, I should be either a preacher, or a teacher, or a doctor. And I had an interest in medicine. I had an interest in the way the body works and how, you know, medicine works and how health works. And so I always thought I was going to be a doctor. And when I started, when we came back to the United States after we left Africa, I was just in my final years of high school. My mind was along the lines of being a physician. But it was interesting. During that time, while I was growing up, I was also doing a lot of mechanical type things. We had to fix all of our own vehicles and stuff. So I was very got into a lot of handy type skills. And I would draw things like mobile medical units and stuff. And I was going to go become a doctor, go back to Africa and build me a mobile hospital, you know, and drive all over the continent helping people. So the idea of helping people, being a servant, being involved in people trying to better their lives, mm-hmm. was just a part of my life. But it wasn't necessarily in a ministerial track. But when I got to the States, went to college, and the first assignment I had in English class, you know, composition, you have to write papers and stuff. And the assignment was write a paper about what you're going to do when you grow up. Well, I got to researching what a doctor's life was like, and I knew what a pastor's life was like, you know. But I didn't know really what a doctor's life was like. So I started writing this paper, and I'm like, I don't want to be a doctor. I can't handle their hours and their stress and that kind of thing. And so I said, well, you know, I don't want to be a preacher, so I'm going to be a teacher. And so through college, I went more toward the line of instruction and finished my degrees in theology and applied religion with the idea that maybe I would teach. But as I got further along in college, I realized, you know, there's two kinds of callings, I guess you might say. There's to be a minister, a pastor, a teacher, any profession, and really be good at it, a person needs to have a sense of calling, that this is what the Lord wants them to do. And like I said, I grew up in the church, but I didn't have a personal experience. So I started struggling with the Lord, started debating with him, I guess you might say, you know, really, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is my, you know, what is your mission for me? And again, I was, you know, these three things, doctor, teacher, preacher kind of thing kept coming in my mind, but my skills, my natural native abilities are analytical and mechanical in a lot of respects. I'll kind of just do about anything I can put my hand to. And so I thought, well, you know, Lord, really, what do you want me to do? And he seemed to tell me, I didn't hear any kind of audible voice or anything, but he said, you know, I give you the skills to do what I want you to do. That's just part of your nature. That's the way you're made. That's the way I made you. I put you together. And so that's what you need to do. So I thought to myself, well, you know, my native skills lie in a mechanical realm, in fixing things. That's why I'm an automotive mechanic. But I have this interest in Bible study, too. So I don't know, you know, exactly which way you want to go. So I'll throw out a fleece. I think it's sometimes throwing out a fleece for the Lord's a good thing if you're in a question mark. And I threw out a fleece and I said, Lord, you know, if this and this takes place, I'll become a preacher and I won't worry about it. And if this and this takes place, I'll go do something different. But I'll still use these skills that I've learned, these lessons that I've, all this college information, you know. And he told me, he said, I don't want you to be a preacher. So I said, okay, I'm not going to be a preacher, and we're going to be a doctor. The teacher's the next best thing. I've got all this stuff here, but right now I'm going to support myself being a mechanic. So I got my certification as an automotive mechanic and started working in that field. And it wasn't just a few months. I got a call to be a maintenance industrial arts teacher at a school in Mississippi. And great, okay, I guess I'm going to end up being a teacher after all. So I went to Mississippi, joined the school, joined the staff, and started teaching. It wasn't very long, as things would have it. I ended up being the assistant school principal, then school principal, and at the same time teaching Bible and history and industrial arts. When I left the school, my interest in natural food still came along, so was still there. My interest in health, my wife's family, father had health issues, my dad had health issues. And so experiencing that side of things, you know, I came to learn that the Lord has specific patterns for healing. He gives us this, in his word, direction on how to stay healthy and how to be healthy. And my wife is a nurse, and so when we moved away from the school, we moved into the natural health, natural healing venue. At the same time, I was involved here in my local church, a church leader, and the education that I've got has led me back into a pastoral ministry. So, you know, over my life journey, it seems like right now I'm a natural doctor, and I'm a teacher, and I'm also a preacher. So there you go. You know, the bottom line is, as a child, as a young person, I was like 17 years old, and I realized I didn't have a personal experience with the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm going to be yours. I made a commitment. And I said, regardless of what happens, I'm not messing with this commitment. This commitment is for you as my Savior and you as my Lord. And so through all the ups and downs and twists and turns and experiences and everything else, that's been my guiding light. And if a person makes that commitment with an honest heart, it really doesn't matter what you do, whether you write a book or whether you teach or whether you fix cars or grow an organic garden or whatever you do. The Lord will lead you in the path that he wants you to go, and he's going to make your life a success.
I so believe in that. I so strongly believe. My goodness, Alan, I am at awe right now. It looks like I went through your life history right now, from because a lot of us sometimes wait or wants to hear the Lord actually say something to us. Lizzie, do this show, but it doesn't work out. And I know there are examples of people that have heard the Lord's voice very, very clear, but it doesn't happen to all of us. He gives us what we need. And in your case, it was very, very impressive that although you went through the traveling, you went to work in the school board, and then you became the mechanic and now going to health, everything that you've done, it is, I can see it clearly, is the way that the Lord has to talk to you and bring you to the need of the time. Now, your biggest thing was to actually say to the Lord, commit. I am committed to your work, what it is that you want me to do. And now I think the Lord, okay, now I can use you, now that you have given up and trying to do your thing. But it is incredible. It is incredible. So let's talk about your book, Alan. What inspired you? What's the book about? So question number one, what inspired you? Question number two, what is the book about? Because we definitely want to get our audience interested. And I'll ask for that. So what inspired you to write this book, the name of it?
Well, the name of the book is The Gospel Light. And I spell light, L-I-T-E, which is light in weight. But it also carries the context, a connotation of bringing L-I-G-H-T, or light, into a person's life. What inspired me to write the book, Lizzie, really is the fact that, you know, as a preacher, you've got to develop a lot of content. And every week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever your particular schedule happens to be in your particular situation, you've got to have something to share with the people of the Lord. And so I got to studying the Gospels. I think, you know, the life of Christ is something that that we need to look at. Actually, I started out, I have a lot of interest in chronology and in eschatology, or last day events, and I would find a lot of things there to preach on. But all of that is well and good, but it tends to scare people into a relationship with the Lord rather than loving them into a relationship with the Lord. And so looking at what, you know, my interests were and what the people need and what the Lord would want us to share primarily, I ran across that verse where Paul says, you know, I will know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So I thought, okay, I'm going to start focusing on the gospel story. I'll preach Jesus. And when I got to looking at the Gospels, we study in school a concept called the Gospel Harmonies, because you've got four stories, you've got four Gospels, they cover the same material, but they're different. Each Gospel writer has his own focus audience, his own theme, the thing about Christ that struck him and that he emphasizes in telling the story of Jesus. And so as I was looking at, you know, the four of them and kind of looking at the different parts and how they fit together for any particular story, the thought struck me, you know, would it be possible? Is it just even possible to take the actual words of Scripture and compile them together into a continuous chronological narrative that weaves all four Gospels into one story? Not a paraphrase, and a lot of people have done that. A lot of people do parallel harmonies. You know, they'll have a verses in parallel columns where you can compare them in a mechanical type of manner one to another. But would it be possible to pull all four of these together? Technically, that's called a synthetic gospel. And it doesn't mean that it's fake. It just means that it's constructed out of the material that's there. And what you get from that is something new and different from what you get from reading each four of them individually. Because this is the composite story. It's kind of like a detective who goes to an accident scene, and he interviews a number of witnesses as to what actually happened, and then puts together the actual story of what happened to present to a jury or to present to the report. And so I thought, I don't know, is this possible or not? So I started working on it. And I found out that, yes, actually it was possible. And not only was it possible, but it brought to the gospel story a totally new, for me at least, dimension to the story of Christ. Because you could start to see not only his divinity, which, you know, is part of the gospel story, but you could see his humanity. You can see how he lived under the guidance of his Father through the Holy Spirit every day, moment by moment, step by step. He didn't have that divine foreknowledge that he would have had before he became a man. He was fully a man besides being just God. And so he lived just like I have, from experience to experience, with each experience building on the experience before. And when you put the Gospels together, like the Gospel Light, you can see how his ministry develops, how his interactions with the people in his stories and the people that he encountered build upon what happened the day before, or what happened the week before, or what had happened the last time he had talked to this particular person. And it brings a whole new dynamic to the gospel story, in my opinion.
That's incredible, because I know for a fact that every time that you meet someone that is just becoming to be a new Christian, a new believer, person in faith, the first thing that I've been taught, and it makes a lot of sense, is to advise them to read the gospel, John, Mark, and Luke, which it will tell the story, the life, in different ways from different authors. Jesus was all about, he was a person that lived ethically, that he obeyed the Father, and he was, you know, who he was. And that way, you, by getting to know him, you know that you can have a relationship with Christ. Now, who would you say that is the best target audience, and I hate to use those words, but the best person to read your book, to the gospel life? New converts, people that are in the church for a while and they just want a little bit of in-depth into the evangelical books, or a minister, or anyone?
The target audience really is anybody who wants to know about Jesus. But it makes a great devotional read, because it's broken up into sections. Each particular incident in Jesus' life is marked, entitled. It also has the specific Bible references, or the Bible passages, texts, parts of texts, phrases, are all identified. So you can read it as a story, as a devotional story. But it's also a great tool, I think, for preachers. I have listened to so many pastors, unfortunately, who, because they're focusing on the book of Luke, for example, or the book of John, may not realize that some of the stories, some of the illustrations that they use, some of the connections that they imagine because they're reading that particular one gospel, are not actually the case. I know of one pastor friend of mine that was talking about the story of Mary Magdalene anointing Jesus' feet, and he connected that with another incident of Jesus with Mary, because of their proximity in that particular gospel that he was looking at. But actually, those two incidences took place months apart. And so I think it's a valuable tool, not only for a devotional reader, not only for a first-time reader, because it is an easy read in that sense. it's a great tool for preachers and teachers and those who are really trying to present the gospel to actually understand what these incidents are in Jesus' life and how they fit together. In some cases, you have a conversation where one of the Gospels will present one part of the conversation, another part will present another part of the conversation. But when you blend them together, you can actually see the entire conversation. You can actually see and what Jesus was saying to his disciples and how the different parts, you know, flowed. They weren't chopped up into little verse pieces here and there with just a gem of thought here and a gem of thought. It's part of a conversation. And I think it fits for both. I would love to see the gospel light picked up by more scholars, more teachers, be used in classrooms where studies, you know, are being done on the life of Christ. But it's also, like I say, a great tool for the first-time person who just wants to pick it up and read it, to read the story of Jesus.
Making her way to work. I see a young girl looking at a purse, dreaming about self-worth. But everything will fade, so let's call a spade a spade. This is temporary, temporary. Want you to carry me through the storm. I want to lift you up.
Hello, hello everyone. We had a little bit of a technical difficulties and we had to play a song for just for a little while. We are back, no worries. We're here with author Edwin Allen Salhadney, and we were talking about who will be best suited to have this book. And we would love for scholars, teachers, classrooms, pastors to acquire the book. And one of the questions that I wanted to ask you is, where can we get this book? It is very, very important. And I wanted you to just pause for that question 1 second. I need to cut for a couple of words to my sponsor, and I'll be right back. Okay, Alan?
Hi, I'm Natasha Birchmohan, and I'm reaching out to every hardworking Canadian. The average Canadian spends most of their lifetime paying off their mortgage. What if you can have your mortgage work for you? More time for you, more time for your family, more money in your bank account. Contact Natasha Birchmohan and team, mortgage broker and qualified experts to help guide you towards financial freedom today. Visit us at bridgemoregroup.com or contact us at 1-866-553-7467 or just Google Natasha Birchmohan at Mortgage Intelligence.
Lizzie T Radio Show is sponsored by NatureNova.ca, where dreams, memories, imagination, and discovery soar. Nature Nova is all about wildlife adventure, outdoor discovery, nature interpretation, and image originality. Nature Nova offers dynamic nature programs and presentations for schools, museums, libraries, nature centers, and special interest groups of all kinds. Be sure to visit naturenova.ca and book your special program or presentation today.
Aloha, we are back so much again, Natasha and Nature Nova. We are back with the Lizzie T Show. We are live today. It is 1:30 Toronto time, and we do have a little bit of time left over with author Edwin Allen Salhadney, and he has an amazing book. I mean, this book needs to be shared around the world where English is spoken, unless we need to translate that book in other languages, but we'll ask that question in a little while. If you would like to call us in, any particular question, any particular comment, or just to say hello, our lines are open. It is 219-383-8255. 503-573-5705. I know that some of you are at work or will be listening to this show later on this afternoon because it is recorded. But if you would like to send us your question, your comment, I can definitely forward it to Alan. It is show@lizzyt.com, show@lizzyt.com, LIZYT.com. Or you can call us at 215-383-5. We'll be on our social media, Facebook/LizzyT Radio, Instagram, and Twitter. And later on, we'll be on our YouTube channel as well. So, Alan, I asked you, where can people find this amazing book for the whole world to get a hold of?
Well, Lizzy, it's available just about anywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you can buy it online at thegospellight.org or thegospellight.info or thegospellight.com. It's available in ebook, paperback, hardback, just about anywhere a person wants to go look for it.
Phenomenal. And we'll have the links, everyone, just in case if you missed, we'll have the link of this radio show, plus right underneath on our social media on Facebook, we'll have all the links how to get this book. Now, my question is, this book, it sounds to me and looks to me, and maybe I may be way off, but like a teaching tool, kind of like a program for people to be able to kind of get more in depth into the gospel, especially for new converts. Have you ever thought of, and I'm thinking going future because you're busy, but you love to be busy. Have you thought of turning this into a program?
Like I said, I've never thought of turning it into a program as such. That's an interesting idea, maybe a project for the future. I do know that there have been several small groups that have used the book as as their book in the small group, taking section by section and then discussing it and so forth. So to develop a curriculum for it, that'd be pretty interesting.
I think we're onto something here because you are a teacher already, and a lot of people have difficulties. One of the things that is very important for a new convert, I do work with children in my ministry, and to decipher the Bible, the gospel to them, to feed them like with a spoon, it's very, very challenging. But once you get that first spoon there, they're hooked. So the easier it is for a person that is just coming to Christ, for a person, for a child, for a teenager, to give them that taste that they need to love the Lord because what he has done for all the sin that he has committed. And I know you were talking about not give fear to people, but maybe we'll talk about that offline. But sometimes a little bit, it is good to know the reality, the urgency of people that are not converted right now. What it is to stake, really. I wanted to thank you so much, Alan, for being here with me. And it's nice to see amazing to see somebody like yourself, not fearful and preaching the word and writing books about it and teaching others. And that's what we're here in this planet for, to preach the gospel, to teach other people. And I think a workshop or a program or curriculum with this book will be a great idea. One of the things that I wanted to ask you, what is the feedback? And you mentioned a couple of them already. What is the feedback from friends, family, or even the church member or pastor when you brought this book? What is the reaction?
Well, I love to hear people's reactions. If they want to directly contact me, I'd love that too. I could give you my email address if you like. But most of the reactions have been very, very favorable. In fact, I've never experienced anybody saying they didn't like it. I've had people that I didn't even know were interested in spiritual things tell me that, wow, you know, I really like your book. It really presents the gospel in a way I'd never seen it before, which isn't, like, it isn't me. I'm just rearranging the text that's there in a chronological form and putting it together. But so there are some appendages in the back of the book that give some background information that a lot of people find interesting. I've had some people that are involved in international evangelism say that they really appreciate the book because it's enabled them to more accurately present their material. So it varies. I mean, it just depends on where a person's coming from as to how they react to it. But most people seem to enjoy it and find it really helpful.
And that's great. Great to get feedback like that. And obviously it keeps you wanting to go. And on that note, is this your first book or have you written other ones before?
Oh, this is it's my first book.
Right.
I have, of course, written a lot of sermons and short stories. And I've been preaching out of this the material since I started working on it, which was 2007, I think, when I started working on it. The book's published a long time since then. But I'm still preaching out of it. We haven't even got all the way through taking it one section at a time. And you're talking about a curriculum that could be developed. I could go back through each of the sermons that I've developed on each one of the sections and make a curriculum out of that, I suppose. So maybe that will be my next book. I don't know.
I was just going to say, when is your next book coming up? And it's probably going to be a curriculum book. But then this is level two. I can still see it. I love the cover, by the way. Was it inspired by you or the publishing company? And what was it like to work with the publishing company? One thing that I find that I ask this to all of my guests, especially authors, one thing is to write the book and have it on your computer. And the next thing is to kind of work on the cover and have it published. That's a totally different monster, and sometimes it isn't. It's 1, 2, 3. How was your experience?
The cover design was the publisher's idea. The title, I think the Lord just gave to me. I've thought of several different things, but the ability to read all four Gospels at the same time, literally. I mean, there's no word in there that isn't in the scriptures. There's no word left out. So even where you have a variation between Matthew and Luke or something, that information is there. It's presented in a way
right.
that doesn't interrupt the flow of the story, but it's there. And so when a person sits down and reads the gospel light, you're actually reading all four gospels at the same time. Even in some of the books, a part of Acts where Paul talks about his interaction with Jesus, which relates to the Last Supper. Those are things Jesus actually said at the Last Supper. So it's all there. And that's what makes it light, because you don't have to read four books. You just need to read one, and you get it all.
Very, very cool. Highly recommend, everyone. Alan, I want to thank you so much. I can't believe time is just flying here at Lilithity, and I feel like I can talk to you forever, and this has been such a great honor. I want all of you, all over the world, to go and check it out and get your copy and get this book. It will definitely, definitely help. If you have friends or people in the ministry or people teaching and or even a new convert, get your hand on the book that is called The Gospel Light. Any last word?
No. Only thing I could say is get to know Jesus. If you want a fulfilled life, regardless of your station or profession, get to know Jesus. He'll carry you.
Amen.
He'll take care to fulfill all your dreams, and someday you'll have an existence with him that's beyond imagination.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And that's everyone. Thank you so much again. Make it a fantastic day. We'll continuing on for and just hold one more second. I will be switching to our musical section. We have Kaya Miranda. She's a beautiful gospel singer. I play a little bit on the beginning. Her song, it is Higher. She's from LA and she submitted her MP3 like a little while ago, but I can't stop listening to her song. It's a beautiful gospel song, Higher, Kaya Miranda.
Making her way to work. I see a young girl looking at a purse and dreaming about self-worth. But everything will fade, so let's call a spade a spade. This is temporary, temporary. Want you to carry me through the storm. I wanna lift you up. Oh, city streets full of poverty and the businessman has been by. I wanna lift you higher, higher. I wanna lift you higher, higher. Shaking hands with the homeless at a corner by the bay. Never thought I'd hear a story instead of begging me for change. He knows he doesn't need any material thing. This is temporary, temporary. Want you to carry me through the storm. I want to lift you up. Oh yeah. In the city streets full of poverty and the businessman has been by. I want to lift you higher, higher. I want to lift you higher, higher. You gotta lose yourself. No matter what comes in your way, we gotta lose him high, 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 high. I want you to carry me through the storm. I want to lift you up. Oh yeah. In the city streets full of poverty and the businessman passing by. I wanna lift you higher, higher. I wanna lift you higher, higher. I wanna lift you higher, higher. I wanna lift you higher,
you wanna do. Grounding on the dick, baby, do what it do. Can't take my eyes off you. Feeling on my body like you know me. Baby girl, number one, you my trophy. Got a nigga feeling like it was a goalie. Gripping on your waist while you move slowly. Back to forth, forth, back. Yeah. ease your mind, you're right in time, yeah. Huh, won't you grind for me? Baby girl, won't you grind for me? Yeah, huh.
Eyes on me, it's just like you see me naked. Move to the left, move to the right, vibe right. I'ma get you lost tonight. And as we move to the floor, you know I'ma put on the show. I'ma ride the boat, ride the boat. Towards the middle, just a little. Tryna have a private party with your body. Moving on your wood, yeah, I feel the excitement. Everybody wants my body, but my body's wanting you. Everybody wants my party. But the party's here with you. Stick your key into my ignition. Let go of all your inhibitions.
And that was Santeria's Mundo de Siwas. They're, this band is right here from Toronto, so they are compiled from people from Dominica, people from Chile, people from Trinidad, and a great group is doing great things here in Toronto. So this is it for tonight, everyone, for this afternoon. We'll be back with another show, with another guest. I am your host and the producer of the Lucy T Show. Bye-bye for now.
Canadian Show. North American radio show, and now worldwide show, the Lizzie T. Blog Talk Radio Show. She wants to know who you are.